steps to alleviating tension and anxiety. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campbell, California, with Instant Illumination. Steps to alleviating tension and anxiety. Well, the easiest way to alleviate tension and anxiety is to be dead. Because as long as you are conscious, you're going to be conscious of something. Now, if you're going to be such a irresponsible person that you are conscious of things that are none of your business, then you're going to have tension and worry because you can't do anything about it. If you're going to be such an unconsciousable person that you're going to be alert and aware of other people's problems, then you're going to have tension and anxiety. If you're going to in any way have your nose in other people's business, you're going to have tension and anxiety because they won't let you do what you think should be done. And perhaps what you think should be done shouldn't be done, you know? So think about that. Think about that very carefully, because so many times we think that things should be done and they shouldn't be done. We think that people should act in a certain way and maybe that's not the way. And the worst illustration I can give is of a couple who are always bickering with each other, arguing with each other. And then one of them dies. And the other says, oh, I miss them so much. I miss our discussions. I miss our talks. I miss our caring about each other. That we're always, well, you're always bitching about each other and always hollering about each other. Yeah, but we love each other. And that's our way of showing that love, you know. And at first I didn't get used to it, but then after a while I realized that he cared about me. He cared about me, and that's his way. And so that I had to respond in the same way with him. And not that that's right or wrong, but from our observation, we'd think that they have a totally unacceptable marriage, unacceptable relationship. And we'd think that about a lot of things. Now, we look at a lot of people coming from a lot of different countries, and they all come to America, and they want to become American citizens. Now, why do they want to become American citizens? They want to become American citizens because in their own country, they couldn't do the things they can do in America. Now, that would seem to me that they would want to support America so that they can do the things that America allows them to do. But if they're going to continually harp back to their old country, to their where they came from, what they ran away from, then they should go back where they came from. They should go back and do it because they're going to be living in total tension and anxiety all the time because America's not doing it as well as their country did, and America's not doing this as well as their country did. And America is doing what it's doing. It is a melting pot for all the world, but I think that term is so well stated. It's a melting pot where we melt all of us into this one gigantic culture called America, which allows each one of us to be whoever we are, but yet gives us a new framework for being whoever we are. And the new framework for being whoever we are is not trying to maintain the old status quo, not trying to maintain the old habits that we had wherever we came from. Now, many of my friends are Swiss, and they're always harping on how wonderful Switzerland is and how wonderful Switzerland is and how wonderful Switzerland. I say to myself, why did you leave? You know? You have been in this country now for 5 years, and I can count on my fingers how many times you've said how wonderful America is. And I can't begin to count how many times you've said how wonderful Switzerland is. You're always saying how wonderful Switzerland is, how wonderful the weather is, and how wonderful the people are, and how wonderful the circumstances are, and how wonderful the government is, and how wonderful... You're just on and on and on, and that's good. But that's where you belong. Pick up your bag and go home, you know? Or leave your bag here because you bought that in America. Go home naked and start over again in your own beloved Switzerland. If you love a place, give it your total attention, your total heart, your total support, and stop knocking it. Because every time you say Switzerland is better than America or Switzerland, it just made me so happy, then go there. Go there. And, you know, I think that Henry Breitenkamp, he sent us a little statement. And the little statement was so very charming and so very, very interesting, because what it did, it spoke of how we might look at the world and how we might see the world and see it more beautifully. Now, how are you going to look at the world? How are you going to see the world more brightly and more beautifully? How are you going to pay attention to it? Are you going to know like this of how you're supposed to do it? Are you going to know how you're supposed to look at it? And what does it mean today? What does it mean to you? Well, that's a good question. I'm looking for his remark here. And there's this Thanksgiving blessing that's a little different. I have it on sense, so maybe I should have it on income from Henry and see whether that will shine it out here. I'm sure it'll come up here somewhere. And tell us, that's wealth is not a possession. That's not the one, that's Thanksgiving. Yeah. And now it came after that. Now, what did he say? And isn't it interesting that I am looking for it now and seeing if I can find it? Well, it doesn't seem to want to show. But what he said was that, have you ever walked by a field and seen the flowers of the field? And as you've seen the flowers, they smiled at you. Each one nodded at you from the field or from the neighbor's garden or from your own garden. They smiled at you. And what did you do in return? Did you smile in return and say, thank you, that was very lovely, I really enjoyed it, I really enjoyed having that smile from the flower? And really, that's what it's all about, isn't it? That's what it's all about. The smiling from a flower. I'm still looking for it. Oh, there. No, yeah, there it is. There it came. It's under a different title. And here's how it goes. Did you know that when you walk past a flower, whether it be in someone's garden or on a vacant hillside, the flower will always smile at you? And the most polite way to respond is to cheerfully return the smile. Now, isn't that a charming statement? Mm-hmm. The most polite way to respond is to cheerfully smile. Now, as you walk down the street in your world, which could be your neighborhood, could be your home, could be your community, as you walk down the street, do you see everyone's face like a beautiful flower smiling at you? Do you see everyone's world as a beautiful world smiling at you? And do you smile in return? Or do you judge them and look at them and say, well, what right have you got to be smiling? You owe the world a great debt, you know. What right have you got to be smiling? You did a terrible thing. What right have you got to be? Hey, before you know it, we're going to be so full of judgment that we won't be able to smile anymore. And we're going to be so full of judgment that what's going to happen to us? What's going to happen to us is that we are not going to be smiling. And we are going to be tense and anxious. And the more tense and anxious we become, the more things we have. We get cancer, we get rheumatism, we get arthritis, we get diabetes, we get broken legs, we get you name it, whatever the illness is that the world has to offer, we get it only through tension and anxiety. Now, do you want it? And you say, oh, no, no, no. Well, then stop being tense and anxious. Well, what are you going to do when you look at the world and you see the world is all going to pot, you know? What are you going to do when you look at the world and you see everybody not doing the right thing? Well, stop looking at the world. Are you doing the right thing every moment of your life? Are you being a loving flower, smiling out at everyone who passes by? Are you being a gentle, caring person? If you are, then you can be sure there's no tension or anxiety in your life. There's no feeling of being left behind, or no feeling of anyone trying to take advantage of you. You are just the total creator of your world, and you create your world how?
Happy.
Super.
Good and very good. Happy, super, wonderful. Yes, all these things that you say, that's true. But good and very good. You create your world divine.
Divine order.
In divine order. You create your world as an ideal. And you live it in an ideal. And you get your bloated nothingness out of the way of the divine circuits so that all can come through in divine order. And when you do that, there is no tension or anxiety. And what is the most wonderful thing that we could ever do to ourselves and to our world? The most wonderful thing we could ever do to ourselves and our world is to have unconditional love about ourselves and our world. You know, if we had unconditional love just about ourselves, our world would have it too, but that would be fabulous. So let's start today in programming ourselves to have unconditional love, to be unconditional love, to think unconditional love, to live unconditional love, to reveal unconditional love in all that we do. And don't think whether you're doing it to others or not, just do it to yourself. And when you do it to yourself, it'll be so your nature that that's all you can do. You cannot think a conditional thought. You cannot think a conditional loving attitude. It does not exist in your world. And so therefore, it won't exist in the world of anyone that you have created in your world. It works perfectly. Now, what's the first step to being unconditionally loving about yourself? First step to be unconditionally loving about yourself is to just say this for at least a zillion, jillion times a day.
Okay? I like me.
I like me. I like me, I like me, I like me, I like me, I like me. You cannot not like yourself when you say, I like me. You cannot. And then you're reconditioning all of those stem cells that are being born every day in your brain and waiting for being told what to do. And your stem cell says, oh, you like you? Oh, good, good, good. We do too, you know. And then everything will be perfect. And then any illness cells that might have been there, the stem cells or the I like me attitude gets in there and washes them away and cleans them up. And you never see them. Not forever or ever or any other day. They're just away. They're gone. Kaput. And you are happy. And you're living in happiness. I like me, 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 I like me. And then, what's another positive statement which blends your world with all the universe? All
is in divine
order. When you say, all is in divine order, you look at somebody else and you see them hitting themselves with a hammer, and you say, all is in divine order, all is in divine order. And the person hitting themselves with a hammer will look at you. You're crazy or something. Can't you see I'm hurting myself? All is in divine order. All is in divine order. All is in divine order. Don't you appreciate what I'm doing? All is in divine order. All is in divine order. All is in divine order. Why should I hit myself if nobody cares whether I hit myself or not? All is in divine order. All is in divine order. And pretty soon, they don't do it anymore. Nobody wants to get credit for something that they're not getting credit for, you know? And when people are unhappy, they want you to understand they're unhappy. Don't you know I'm unhappy? Don't you know I want the world to know? And all is in divine order. Oh, all is in divine order. You look so beautiful. You look so wonderful. And no observation is given to the negative. And the negative just has to go away because it's not getting any attention. And what is getting attention gets what? It's what happens in our life. Whatever we give attention to. Now, you're going to give attention to tension and anxiety? We were talking this morning how Mr. Bates, who wrote the book on You Can See Without Glasses, how he was saying that he takes his devices for being an ophthalmologist and reads in people's eyes when there is a tension, when there is any slight anxiety in the body or the mind, and it's instantly reflected in the eyes, and instantly it causes the eyes to not see in balance and harmony. Oh, you can see something, but you can't really see well. And he points out that every time the eye is at peace, every time the eye is not tense or not anxious, when it is relaxed, that was the term he used, when it was relaxed, then the eye saw perfectly. Now, are you big enough to create yourself relaxed? Are you big enough to create yourself without tension and anxiety, which is merely getting your nose out of somebody else's business? Are you able to do that? And the answer is yes. Do you want to?
Yes.
And the answer should be yes. And if you want to, then do it.
Yes.
And don't cry on my shoulder, because I don't hear you. I say, all is in divine order, all is in divine order, all is in divine order, all is in divine order. And that's what it is for me. You say, well, Herb, sometimes you shout and sometimes you get very angry. I do?
No.
Did you ever see the smile on my face while I'm shouting? Yeah. I just play a game.
A good one.
Now, I want each one of you to report back to me this evening at supper time. Did you take a 10-minute pause to palm your eyes? This afternoon, take a 10-minute pause somewhere and palm your eyes. That means closing your eyes, putting the balls of your feet, your balls of your hands, the palm of your hand, over each eye, let your fingers overlap on top, and then keep them there. Run a couple pieces of classical music in the background. And when you play two pieces of classical music, you've got about 10 minutes done. So it's a really easy thing to do, and it gives you a lot of great joy as you listen to it. And you can, it doesn't matter how active the piece of music is, you're just relaxing. And you're teaching yourself to relax under all circumstances.
Yeah.
And it works. So, steps to alleviating tension and anxiety. The biggest one is to get your nose out of somebody else's business. And the second one is to say, I like me, I like me, I like me. And just watch how you change from an anxious, tense person to a relaxed, peaceful, perfect seeing person. Know that I love you eternally.